This episode of Road Dirt is brought to you by Mimi and Moto, children's motorcycling books. The holidays and Christmas are fast approaching, and it's time to start thinking about presents for the kids in your life. Our friends Nancy and Mark, creators of the Mimi and Moto book series, would like you to join their mission to get more children excited about motorcycle riding. You can visit them at mimiandmoto.com. That's MIMIAND MOTO.com, mimiandmoto.com. They've already got a couple of great books out that have been really good sellers for them in recent years. The Adventures of Mimi and Moto, and Mimi and Moto Ride the Alphabet, along with t-shirts, onesies, ornaments, plushes, and things like that. They've got another one coming out, looks like in the coming year. It's going to be called Mimi and Moto's Magic Meteors, First Gear. Mimi and Moto are a pair of motorcycle riding monkeys in their book series, and they're really entertaining. So little kids are definitely enjoying these, and I think whole families will enjoy them as well. Let's pass on the love for motorcycling to the next generation, and what better way to do it than with children's books that the kids will enjoy. MimiandMoto.com. Welcome to Road Dirt, the podcast of Road Dirt Motorcycle Media and RoadDirt.tv, your down-home grassroots motorcycle brand, covering what we like to call ride life. This is Rob Brooks, your host. Thanks for tuning in. And on this episode, we actually recently got to sample a 2022, that's going to be a 2023 model as well, a special edition motorcycle that Yamaha is putting out. It's called the Yamaha MT-10 SP. And one of their special edition bikes with all kinds of extra farkles on it. And I personally didn't get to go, but Ryan Nolan, one of our contributors and writers, photographers up in the Milwaukee area, got to attend it and did a write-up on it. Not only a write-up, but full of photographs and a ride video as well. So that Yamaha helped shoot for him and actually gave him some great footage as well. So you can check all that out. At the end of the podcast, I'll let you know how you can go check out his story, the photos, and incredible ride footage up in the San Bernardino Mountains on the Yamaha MT-10. So this is Ryan Nolan riding the Yamaha MT-10 SP. A rider samples the Tuning Forks premium naked sport bike. Motorcycles, we ride them for an endless list of reasons. They're more than a mode of transportation. A motorcycle gives us a sense of freedom, physically and mentally, from the day-to-day routine. Invoking an emotional response in us as riders, above all, motorcycles are a symbol of our identity. It really is true what they say. What you ride says a lot about you. Much like ice cream, nowadays there's a motorcycle flavor for everyone. Do you want to rip around in the big city, navigating your way through high rises and coffee shops? Does the sound of the thought of munching up miles on the open road sound appetizing to you? Or the rush of a track day as you carve apex after apex, does that sound more your style? Well, what if you wanted it all? Can you have your cake and eat it too? Say hello to the naked sport bike, otherwise known in the vernacular as the street fighter segment of motorcycling. Now, for those of you unfamiliar with what they call street fighters, the formula is as follows. Take a sport bike-inspired base model bike, strip off the bodywork till it's mostly, as they say, naked, detune the engine so it's more at home in a street environment, trade in the clip-ons and sport bike ergonomics for a more upright riding position and handlebars, and there you have it. The street fighter is a motorcycle that is a bit of a jack of all trades. It can do all things pretty reasonably well. For Yamaha, their most powerful offering in this street fighter naked sport bike segment is the Yamaha MT-10. Now, when the MT-10 was first launched back in 2016, it struck a polarizing figure with this love it or hate it Japanese cyberpunk kind of transformer styling. Then you add in the addictive R1 derived power plant mated to a chassis that strikes a balance between aggressive and comfortable ergonomics. While out of the box, many raved about the bike, others felt some upgrades would really take things to the next level and really allow the bike to shine. Unfortunately, here in the US of A, we often are left wanting when special versions are released in Europe or Asia. After the MT-10 was released, it followed a similar pattern with an SP version, and we were over here left wishing we lived across the pond. Well, fast forward to 2022, and the MT-10 has been redesigned with a different look, ditching the previous more blocky technical lines with sharper curves, even less plastic, and an unmistakable look that you either go all in on or you'll pass. The MT-10 has no half measures here, and the style tells you it knows what it is and it doesn't care what you think. Some other highlights over the previous model are a new TFT color dash, acoustic intake cutouts, and Yamaha's six-axis inertial measurement units, their IMU, with selectable and customizable ride modes. Even better news came when Yamaha also announced another SP model, this time coming to the good old US of A. I was fortunate enough to be invited out by Yamaha for the press launch of the MT-10 SP, and it marked a special occasion for me. Not only was I going to get to sample this new motorcycle, but this would be my first press launch, and I couldn't be happier that this was the bike, and I could always call it my first, so to speak. The Street Fighter segment has always appealed to me with its simplistic formula. The KISS principle, you know, keep it simple, stupid, is synonymous with the Street Fighter moniker, but this being 2022 and the market being flush with offerings, remember how we said it's a good time to be a motorcyclist recently? Brands are now constantly looking for ways to set themselves apart, to distinguish themselves. Yamaha chose to stand out with the SP by giving it a distinctive paint scheme, a nod to their vaunted R1M sport bike. Special accents like stainless steel brake lines, a gold chain, a three-piece integrated sub cowling were all things that they added. However, the biggest highlight that makes the SP so special is the new Olin semi-active suspension with three semi-active and three manual modes that can be adjusted up in the display. The press launch for the SP took place in Los Angeles, California, and beginning with a morning press briefing at the Peterson Automotive Museum, followed by a ride out of the city up into the Santa Monica Mountains for a photo op and some photo shoots. Then we'd ride the high curves and eventually return back to the city. This ride would give us an opportunity to sample the SP in varying conditions, including urban city riding, highway cruising, and mountain curb carving. As the day neared, it looked more and more like we'd be riding all day in rainy conditions too, but I was hopeful we'd luck out. Being my first press release, I wanted to soak it all in and make sure I was thoroughly prepared. I read everything I could on the new model changes. Reading some of the stats, like a 467-pound wet weight, had me wondering how the bike would feel through Los Angeles traffic, where I knew having something maneuverable would be very important. Regardless, I found myself filled with a nervous excitement to experience the SP at my first press event. It felt like that first day of school where you want to do well, you aren't sure what to expect, but you want to make sure that you have fun. The morning of the ride, I found myself awake at 4:30 a.m. Pacific time, partly due to my excitement and the two-hour time change from where I live. Daylight savings time, all happening the day before. I glanced out the window to see sheets of rain, and my heart initially sank. However, I thought to myself, might be the perfect environment to test that Olin semi-active suspension. More of a real-world test in my mind, I guess. Personally, I enjoy riding in the rain because it forces me to relax and get the feel of the motorcycle, so that becomes very important. At the time of our morning press briefing, as it approached, the rain began to lighten, and actually it stopped. So we might luck out with some dry weather after all. At the press briefing, we gathered and I found myself among a lot of recognizable names in the moto journalism world, all of whom I knew of and have followed myself. There was Alan from Sport Bikes Incorporated, Joe from Chase on Two Wheels, Alex from TFL Bike, and Zach Kortz from RevZilla, and even a correspondent from Road Racing World. I'm not name-dropping these guys to feel special or anything, but you can see the kind of company I was in. I was quite humbled and lucky to be here with these journalists, many of whom I've followed over the years. Talk about having the feeling that you're being thrown into the deep end. I was eager to learn And they were all a very friendly bunch, as you'd expect. Some of them had been on the original MT-10 launch a few years ago and told me how the new model was much more predictable in its throttle response than the previous model. Turns out Joe from Chase on Two Wheels was at his first press event as well, so we got to be the two rookies kind of getting used to everything together. We chatted a bit about our expectations of the bike as we were given more details about the day's events. We would begin the day with some short runs through the city to get some movement shots and then head out on the Pacific Coast Highway, another bucket list item for me, to a stopping point up in the Santa Monica Mountains. Even though the rain had stopped, there was another cell that was supposedly going to roll in during the early afternoon, so we would be cutting our ride a little bit short. I kept my fingers crossed we might not catch the rain until our return leg ride. As we prepared to get underway, I took a walk around the MT-10 SP to get familiar with my surroundings. It definitely has a striking stance, very alien kind of Transformer movie glare with the headlights and the cowling. The polished swing arm and blue accents immediately had me picturing the R1M in my mind. Yamaha definitely hit the bullseye in styling here. I turned the key of my MT-10 SP, settled into the cockpit, taking some time to familiarize myself with the TFT display and the many different functions. My bikes back at home are much more analog in comparison, so I was a little intimidated as I clicked and flicked my way through the various switches on the bars. Fortunately, they're all pretty intuitive to use, and I scrolled through the menu to look at the different rider aids. Some of these include, there's a cruise control, a speed limiter, engine modes, wheelie control, traction control, slide control, a new semi-active suspension, which includes the ability to select three various modes and three manual modes, all of which are customizable. Well, we all lined up in the parking garage of the Peterson Automotive Museum, and I took a deep breath as I let out the clutch and opened the throttle on the SP. The clutch pull was light. The throttle was responsive, not abrupt or lurchy. My game plan for the day was to keep the bike in one particular riding mode, but to try changing the Olin suspension, since that was the main highlight of the SP over the base model. Being that this was not only my first press launch, but also my first trip to Los Angeles, I was a bit nervous about the traffic patterns, especially knowing that lane filtering and lane splitting is legal out here. That being said, the size and handling of the SP went by pretty completely unnoticed by me. Don't let that come across as a bad thing, because I found myself lane splitting for the first time, and I really didn't even notice that I was sitting on Yamaha's largest of its hyper naked sport bikes. The MT-10 handled itself extremely well, its weight. The chassis felt light and neutral, taking any input I gave it positively. I felt very connected to the bike, whether we were in tight traffic in the city or throttling through the lanes out on the highway. Speaking of positive feelings, the 2022 model includes a quick shifter for clutchless up and down shifting. That took me a few miles to get used to, as I'm used to always pulling in the clutch on my downshifts at least. Once I did, though, I have to say the transmission felt sublime in both directions, up and down. The shifts felt smooth and positive compared to other systems I've tried. Even some aftermarket ones felt sloppy by comparison. As we continued up on the Pacific Coast Highway towards Santa Monica, I noticed the seating position felt pretty neutral with a natural reach to the handlebars. If I were to go on a longer trip, I could see myself wanting some higher rear sets to place my knees a little higher up, so they fit into the tank cutouts a little bit better, but that's just a personal preference. For reference, I'm about 5'10", so if you're a little longer in the legs, you might not have that issue. Also, I might look at a slightly wider seat around my legs where it meets the tank, so I could see it getting a little uncomfortable if I was going to do an extended road trip with this bike. As we turned off onto the canyon roads, the slight narrowness of the seat around the tank actually felt better, because it made for moving from side to side on the seat as I began to carve through the turns. It made it much easier. We stopped off for our first photo op, and as we prepared for our individual runs down the curvy roads, I decided it'd be a good time to try out the three different suspension modes. Each journalist would get a run up and then back down a designated section of road, which gave me a chance to test each setting in the same area of road. For my first run, I kept the bike in mode number 2, which is where it had been since the start of the ride. For my next run, I moved it into mode 3, which is the softest of the suspension settings. And for my last run, I switched over into the most aggressive mode 1. It took until after my runs for it to sink in, the ease at which I was able to simply change the entire suspension setup, literally with the click of a button. In order to get to the full menu, you have to click and hold the rotary wheel on the right side of the handlebar, which, by the way, you can see in this photos in the article. Rotate the wheel to find your desired setting, and then click to get back out of it. That's it. One thing to note, it was somewhat easy to accidentally rotate the wheel while you're clicking, which can make the menu selecting a little bit finicky, but overall, it was quite usable. Coming from the track world of motorcycling and racing, I was pretty curious about how much of a difference I'd feel with each mode, and I gotta say, Yamaha really did their homework with how they set up each one of the ride and suspension modes. Immediately, I could feel a difference with each different setup. As time passed with each run we made, the condition seems to be getting cooler and a bit more foggy as well, so I found Mode 3 to be slightly more confidence-inspiring than Mode 2 in these conditions. Mode 1 immediately felt stiffer with a much harsher rebound over bumps. If I had to label a mode myself, I would call Mode 1 would be for like track and racing, Mode 3 for cold and wet conditions, and Mode number 2 pretty much for everything else in between. Honestly, Mode 2 felt like it could be used to dip into aggressive street riding or less than ideal weather conditions, which is another kudos to Yamaha for dialing in a great setup right out of the box with the suspension. Now, for those of you who like to tinker, knowing each mode can be customized individually so you can get that setup dialed in perfectly is a really nice feature. Something I definitely want to utilize if I were to take the SP out for a track day, which is my thing. With the photo session done, we made our way down the mountains for a lunch stop. As I enjoyed rousing two-wheeled conversation with the Yamaha reps and my fellow journalists, we noticed rain began to fall. It was a slight drizzle at first, but by the time we went to leave lunch, the wind had picked up and the rain steadied into a constant pour. But you know, I was actually kind of excited about the prospect of rain riding, knowing I was able to get in some dry time before and now feeling confident in the SP and in my own abilities. Before the day began, I recall one of the journalists remarking about how it seems only rain in LA 3 to 4 times a year, so I guess we were just lucky. Yamaha was nice enough to provide each of us with rain suits, and with everyone geared up, we rolled back onto the Pacific Coast Highway back towards LA. Traffic had slowed because of the rain, and there were areas where we rolled through deep puddles and traffic jams. Again, I found myself safely splitting through traffic on my now trusty companion. Just as when we left, I kept thinking of how easily I could flow through traffic on the bike really without any worries. It really was a joy picking my way through traffic as we rode in a long snake, making our way back through the city. And for the return leg, I kept the bike in mode 2 for a straight comparison with the dry up in the mountains and didn't have any moments where I felt ever unstable on the bike. Rolling over some of the reflector bumps built into the passing lanes, I could feel a little bit of harshness, which would have been remedied by slipping into mode 3, but I felt perfectly comfortable the entire ride back. After having ridden on a variety of conditions all day long, I also have to give a positive note to the factory Bridgestone S22 tires, which performed flawlessly in everything we rode through. Safely back at the Peterson Museum, we parked and I took some time to reflect on the day. I discussed the bike with my fellow journalists, curious to hear their thoughts to see if any of mine were similar or if I was simply having honeymoon syndrome being my first press launch. Others commented on how nice the various suspension modes felt and how neutral and nimble the bike rode, which felt good to hear, really. No one was in a bad mood, even after the rain and colder conditions, and it was nice to hear everybody's different perspectives on it. We all recorded our final thoughts with the video crews, and I kept looking at the SP with quiet content. I was finding it difficult to sum up the bike, but simply put, this thing just works. Out of the box, the MT-10 SP hits all the marks as a hyper-naked street fighter motorcycle. If I could only have one bike, this would handle the majority of my needs and handle them really quite well. The question was asked among our group if we felt the extra cost over the standard model was worth it. Having not ridden the standard model myself, I couldn't comment much on that, but I could see the convenience of being able to change the suspension going from, say, street to track very appealing. Furthermore, some of the journalists who had ridden the standard MT-10 did comment how they felt the extra cost was justified. As with any motorcycle, though, I highly encourage you, if you get a chance, go check one out on your own. As I touched on earlier, motorcyclists today are spoiled with choices. And there really are not any, there's no bad motorcycles out there nowadays. Manufacturers are always pushing the envelope to stand out from the crowd. Electronic options are being elevated, with much of the technology from top-tier racing trickling down to showrooms at a really accelerated pace. This adds to the complexity of options for us as riders, and as a racer myself, I'm often asked myself why, really. I didn't see the need for trick things like wheelie control, auto blip, downshifts, or electronic suspension on a street bike. However, after riding a few motorcycles, including the MT-10 SP here, I've come to understand it a bit more. It adds to the experience and makes riding even more enjoyable, less to think about, so we can get back to enjoying what we love the most, the ride. Years ago, my mind would have been racing a million miles an hour, rolling through the traffic in downtown LA in a rainstorm, splitting my way between cars, winding up through unfamiliar canyon roads. During this ride, though, I really felt completely in control and quite relaxed. I have to give a hand to Yamaha and what they did with this motorcycle. Yeah, there are a few things I'd probably modify, depending on one size or main purpose of the bike, but it did everything I asked of. It did it extremely well. I got to give a shout out to Jared Capley of Yamaha, to Tyler, Ray, Joey, Remy, Steven, Van, and the whole entire Yamaha crew for the invite and putting on a fun and professional event. Now that I feel like a real moto journalist, so to speak, hopefully this will be the first of many. I want to thank the trusty MT-10 SP, which made this first journey a memorable one, where I could sit back and fully enjoy the experience for what I always enjoy being, and that's a motorcyclist, Ryan Nolan. I hope you'll check out our story. Go to roaddirt.tv and look for the story, Riding the Yamaha MT-10 SP. It's full of photos. It's got a great ride video at the end with a lot of onboard footage, his commentary while he's riding it, as well as Yamaha actually ran alongside of him along some of these, you know, winding mountainous roads, and shot a lot of just incredible, you know, like movie style footage of him. It was really incredible. And it's a great video, a great story, and great photos that he and the Yamaha people shot for it. So, riding the Yamaha MT-10 SP. Good job, Ryan. We're proud of you, man. Hey, hope you'll check us out on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Road Dirt TV. Definitely, definitely, definitely check out our YouTube channel, which we're always adding new ride videos, event videos, interviews, things like that. Out on our YouTube channel, it is Road Dirt TV. Everything's pretty simple. Road Dirt TV, or like our website, roaddirt.tv. I think the only thing that doesn't have a TV, Road Dirt, that doesn't have a TV at the end of it, is our Spotify music playlist. It's called Road Dirt Classics because it's got a lot of rock and roll from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even some of the 90s in it, because we're a bunch of older guys. We love the older rock. So about 25 hours worth of music out there while you're out thrashing a bike on the open roads. Well, this is Rob with Road Dirt. We want to thank our sponsors for this month of the podcast as well. Little Rider Enterprises, the writers and producers of Mimi and Moto Motorcycle Monkeys, their children's book series. Since it's Christmas, it's a perfect time to look into those. MimiandMoto.com. Until next time, this is Rob with Road Dirt. Ride life.